welcome to the Entertainment Dagger for the week of September 29th. I am your co-host, Michael Staley, and alongside me is the lovely, talented, and TV-addicted Melissa Hansen.
And they're all back. They're all back. Not all of them, but most of them. They're coming back.
Yeah.
So excited by Hulu. Melissa, it's full every day.
It's worth the money that you're paying them each month.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So what have you been watching?
So, let's see. Start with The Good.
Okay.
The Good Wife.
Oh.
Like I told you before, they like completely changed, like huge game changer stuff and changed it all around. They do it all the time. And this time you thought it was going to change it again and then something happened. Oh my God. If you are a fan, you got to go watch the first episode.
Oh.
Holy crapola.
It's kind of
crazy. Oh. No, so that is still like, top quality show. New one I was really looking forward to, How to Get Away with Murder.
Ah, yes.
The Shonda Rhimes, and it appeared after Scandal. It was good.
Okay.
Viola Davis, she plays a lawyer / law professor, and she gets some of her students involved in one of her cases.
Okay.
Kind of thing. And so she's amazing because hello, she's amazing. And, prison guard baby daddy's in it.
Oh, the younger guy, not porn stash, the other guy.
No. Yeah. Not porn stash. Yeah. Baby daddy prison guards in it. But so it's a good cast and stuff. They did good. I wasn't blown away by it and I expected it to be. Maybe my expectations were too high. It's gonna, well, then again, it's Shonda Rhimes. So I don't know why I'm surprised. It's along the lines of like Grey's Anatomy and Scandal, which okay. with the soap opera-y aspects right. of it. So it was good. It didn't blow me away. I'm definitely going to stick with it and give it some time.
Oh, that's good.
To maybe grow on me.
Yeah.
So that was what else did we, I saw a preview of A to Z,
what's that?
Which is a romantic comedy.
Okay.
And it's The Mother stars in it. How I Met Your Mother.
Oh, I wasn't sure where you were going with that.
Yeah, she got her own show. I saw a preview of that. It was cute.
All right.
Kind of thing. I talked about Selfie.
Yes.
Before. What else did I catch up on? Oh, Big Bang Theory.
I haven't watched that show in so long.
Yeah. So it's the same old Big Bang Theory, except Kaylee cut all her hair off.
Really?
Like really short, not like a pixie, but like the back's like a pixie. The front's kind of kind of like Kate. She had that really short in the back Kate and the long front. Eight. It looks much better than that. But
she got married not too long ago.
Ooh, Kaylee.
Yeah.
Kaylee Cuoco Sweeting is sort of now her credit show.
Right.
So that's back, kind of. Funny Jim Parsons is freaking hysterical.
Yeah. The Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. started out with a bang. I heard Mac's review on Filibuster. He hasn't liked that show from the start.
Okay.
He's been cold on it, which I don't understand. I have a very different take on it. It started slow for me, but I love what they're doing with it. They keep ramping it up and ramping it up, and the tensions get higher, and they're slowly weaving in all these kind of C-level characters in the Marvel Universe. Lucy Lawless guest starred on this first episode.
Okay.
To be honest, she looked like shit. I don't know if she's just getting older. She looked great on Battlestar Galactica, but she's very heavy and she looks very tired.
Okay.
I don't know what's going on there.
All right.
It's setting up some interesting stuff. They are kind of, you know, for them being the enforcement government agency in the first season, now they're on the run. The government is out for them because kind of the agency has been exposed as being corrupt. So Nick Fury gave them the keys to all of his private stash, and now they're on the run. They're hiding out and doing things in secret. So they're battling the government to try and save the country when the government doesn't want them to.
All right, then.
So it's still interesting. I mean, I love Clark Gregg. I love Ming-Na Wen. It's a good show and worth your time, especially if you're a Marvel Comics person.
Yeah, if you're into it and you recognize who characters are or going to be or, you know, things like that. Get all the connections.
Sleepy Hollow got off to a good start.
You know what? I think I'm kind of on that now.
You didn't like it?
It feels like it's the same thing over and over, kind of.
It did.
I don't know.
Did you get thrown by the opening, though?
I was kind of bored.
Okay. All right.
Yes. I was. Yeah. They did it well. It was a well-done episode.
Yeah.
And John Cho was back.
Yes, he was.
Uh-huh. It was well done.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm kind of that. And also, Bones.
Oh, yeah. You said something about that.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, I won't give the whole big spoiler, but they killed off one of the characters, and of course it's my favorite character. And I understand why, like, out of the show, like, it's a character who's very, or an actor who's very, very busy doing other things at the moment.
Okay.
And I think, I'm guessing it was just time for him to move on, but it blows.
Okay.
So anyhow. Okay. James Spader is still the best thing on television.
Oh, you're watching Blacklist?
Holy crap. And it's going to be good, really good, like, reoccurring stars, it looks like.
All right.
For the beginning. Kristen Ritter.
Oh, nice.
Yes, it looks like she's going to do a bit of a run on it. And Mary Louise Parker. Hello.
Oh, good. Good for her. I love her.
Yeah. Yeah, but James Spader still. He's just enthralling to watch in this.
He chews scenery very well.
Oh, yeah, but, like, well, not,
yeah,
like...
Yeah, no, very well.
It's, like, funny, like, you're just like, oh. Yeah. Yeah. So, anyhow. Yeah, that's good. Oh, the other sitcom I enjoyed, Black-ish. I'm the target audience. It's Anthony Edwards.
Yes.
And Tracy Ellis Ross and Lawrence Fishburne. I'd mentioned it because he's doing that. So, part of me hopes it does really well, but then I'm worried about him back for Hannibal. So,
okay.
I enjoyed it.
All right.
I enjoy it. And again, not the target audience. It's an urban. This is the best part. They make this whole, like, funny about, like, the urban.
Yes.
Is code for black. Like, they are as pissed off about it as I am, obviously.
Yeah.
So I'm like, see? I told y'all that's crazy. Jeez. So, no, but I enjoyed that one. So that's one worth checking out.
I was surprised by Gotham.
There's
been so many variations on Batman over the years that I wasn't really looking forward to a prequel. Apparently this is from the guy who created Rome for HBO.
Mm-hmm.
It's very dark. It's very gritty.
But it's neat figuring out who's who in the... I watched that too.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Good.
And Donald Logue, I'll watch.
Oh, I know. And see, this is one of the things. And Harvey became a very cool character on Batman, the animated series, and I love where he's taking it from there.
Yeah. So, one thing, again, it's about, you know, people getting new shows in this moment. He had a run at the end of last season of SVU.
Oh.
And he did, like, his Irishy kind of accent. Was sexy.
Hmm.
It was nice. But anyhow, so I kind of missed him on that.
All right.
We're going to miss him on that, but it's neat seeing him.
Oh, he's got a nice juicy role in this. And I love the fact that...
He was with Barbara.
What's that?
Barbara.
Oh, so that's... Jim Gordon's wife is Barbara.
Right, but isn't it... Isn't it...
They name their daughter Barbara? She winds up dying.
Okay, well, wife, thanks.
At least in the Batman universe.
Okay, because that's right. I know it. I don't know all the ins and outs. I just know Barbara Gordon.
Yes.
Commissioner Gordon's daughter.
Yes.
And then, like, so they're showing young Commissioner Gordon, like, his fiance, like, Barbara didn't hang out with
him. And it's a very different take, because Barbara was kind of a non-entity in the comics. Barbara the wife, not Barbara the daughter.
Okay. Well, she's obviously, at least for a while.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of wheels in motion in this show. And I love the fact that, you know, they always used to say that Batman was responsible for creating all the villains in Gotham, like that his presence was one. But in this show, Jim Gordon was at least responsible for creating the Penguin.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a very cool.
Yeah, it's a cool choice. Yeah, this is, it's one I'm definitely going to keep an eye on.
Yeah.
And see where it goes.
Yeah. And then I'm still watching Doctor Who. We're, what, 5 episodes into a 13-episode season right now?
I'll do the catch up on that once it's all.
And most people do. Most people burn it. You know, they'll burn through it all at one time. I love what Peter Capaldi's doing. He's a very different doctor. He's very angry. He's very old. He's very curmudgeonly. And the dynamic that he has with Jenna Coleman is so fantastic because it is so different than the dynamic she had with Matt Smith.
Yeah. But then also, the way you're describing it, it seems like the next step after Matt.
Yeah.
Matt was taking it in that direction.
Yeah. That's true. That's true. They were kind of setting it up that way.
Yeah. There was definitely, I mean, he wasn't that far with it, but he wasn't, but he was taking it more, yeah, that grumpy ass.
But Stephen Moffat has had a hand. Normally he'll come up with a title or a synopsis for a show and let his writers go off. But all of these episodes, it's a writer and Stephen Moffat. So he is guiding this series.
They're going somewhere specific.
They are. This. And you can tell in the dynamics they're trying to create with the companion, with the people in Jenna's life outside of the Doctor. How the struggles are happening there, and then her relationship with the Doctor in general, and his kind of what his purpose
is. Yeah, they've got very specific endpoints with this.
I'm very intrigued.
They're not like, oh, let's just make her his wife. Oh, and then we'll make her Amy's daughter. That's what we'll do. Yeah, they're not doing that.
There's a lot more going on here.
Yeah, cool.
So, all right. Box office this week. An unsurprising Denzel Washington movie opens, and guess what's at the top of the box office?
Yeah, The Equalizer, which I'm sure has, like, besides the title, nothing to do with the TV show, really.
Aside from the premise, it's a normal guy who goes out and does what the police are unable to do.
Yeah. So The Equalizer, $35 million this weekend, and then life's been happening. Huge drop. Maze Runner, second, with $18 million. The Box Trolls with 17, another big drop. This is where I leave you, $7 million.
Mm-hmm.
And Dolphin Tale 2, $5 million.
So not too long ago, Jeffrey Katzenberg, who was one of the architects of Disney's rebirth in the 80s with Little Mermaid, and then went on to found DreamWorks with Steven Spielberg and David Geffen, he gave kind of a state of Hollywood and said, you know what, here's the model that we're dealing with right now, that a movie generally lasts... what did he say? In 98% of the money a movie makes at the box office happens in the first 3 weeks.
Yep.
After that, it's worthless to keep it in the theater. So it can go to on-demand or it can go to the streaming services or physical media. And I think that's proving out every week. Every week you see a movie, it'll start out strong and it'll lose at least half or more of what it made the week before and then half again.
Because you have the people who really want to see it.
Yep.
So they're excited for it, so they're going to go pretty quick. And then you have the rest of us that want to see it, but not that much.
But there's so many entertainment options available to people these days.
Indeed.
And it's very expensive to go to a movie.
Like, I want to see The Equalizer.
Yeah.
You know, the $1.99 or whatever.
Right, at Redbox.
Not the $12 at the theater.
Yeah. Yep.
And I know I'll be able to see it.
Yeah.
In, you know, whatever. Couple months.
Yeah. So. This coming week, if you're a horror fan, there are a couple options. Otherwise, everybody's only really got one movie to go see. That's Ben Affleck starring in David Fincher's Gone Girl.
Excited. Now that's a theater one for me.
Right. And there are going to be movies like that that people are going to want to flock
that's
to.
Worth the $12 one.
Yeah. But then we've got creepy doll horror film Annabelle.
Yeah.
And creepy Japanese airplane horror film 7500.
All right.
So, but people will pay, you know, horror junkies will pay to see stuff like that.
For it.
Yeah, especially kids, you know.
Yeah.
Coming to DVD and Blu-ray this week, Transformers Age of Extinction, which I have not seen, and Paramount has not sent it over for review. So, don't know if we're going to get a chance to do it. Dave Johnson will, obviously, he loves these Transformer movies, so even if we don't get a copy, he'll review it. Speaking of Dave Johnson, 24 Live Another Day.
Ooh, yeah.
Which was the miniseries they did for Fox. Jon Favreau's Chef, which you saw and enjoyed, yes?
So good. And we will have a review of that posting
this week.
This week. And, you know, agrees with me. Yeah. Thumbs up on that one.
The Mentalist, season 6. Yet another special edition release of Gone with the Wind. For its 75th anniversary. I can't tell you. Warner Brothers, I don't understand what Ronnie Sass and those guys are doing over there because they just take these and, like, people aren't gonna shell out $50 or $75 for a special edition when they just bought the a couple years ago.
Right.
You know, the collector's edition one. I don't know. Yeah. It just makes me crazy. And then there's a director's cut of Once Upon a Time in America. Also available on Blu-ray this week.
Cool.
Redbox. Owen Wilson, Amy Poehler, and Zach Galifianakis in Are You Here, which is a movie that bypassed the theaters and went right to DVD.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the fifth or the sixth Leprechaun movie.
Oh, geez.
This one's subtitled Origins. Jennifer Aniston was in the first one with her old nose, so you know how long this franchise has been kicking around. Tom Berenger in another Sniper movie. Again, these are all direct-to-DVD. This one's called Sniper Legacy. I'm intrigued by this next one. Patrick Wilson, Liv Tyler, and Matt Bomer.
Yes!
In a sci-fi throwback called Space Station 76, which
looks
like
it's... of this. It is way cool looking.
Yeah. We haven't got that for review at either. But it looks like it's... I mean, I grew up on things like Space 1999 with Martin Landau.
Yeah, and the poster looks like that.
Yeah.
It looks like a movie from the 70s.
Yeah. So,
they did a good job on it.
We've got another Liam Neeson ass-kicking called Third Person.
Yeesh.
And then Transformers Age of Extinction also hitting Redbox this week.
Okay.
Netflix, first of the month. There's a whole bunch of stuff. I'm only going to talk about what's hitting this first week. We've got the original 1982 Annie with Andrea McArdle, right? No, who did? Was she the...
I don't know.
I don't remember. I think it was her.
Albert Finney.
Yes, Albert Finney. Jeffrey Holder was Punjab. Anne Reinking was Grace.
Yeah.
Tim Curry played Rooster.
Yes.
Carol Burnett.
Yeah.
And then the 1995 sequel called Annie, A Royal Adventure.
All right.
Both of those on Netflix this week. Ahead of the Jamie Foxx Black Annie coming with the girl from Beast of the Southern Wild.
All right.
I can't remember her name. Ernest Saves Christmas. So we're already getting the Christmas stuff in September. Gilmore Girls. If you're a fan of Gilmore Girls, the complete series is available on Netflix starting this week.
Yeah, I've seen a few posts from my friend Melissa Gomez, like on Facebook, about it.
Yeah.
So there are definitely some very excited people out there for that one.
Baz Luhrmann's Romeo and Juliet.
Ooh.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah, Claire Danes.
John Leguizamo.
Yes.
Team America World Police from the South Park guys, where you get to see puppets pooping on each other while they're having sex.
Yeah.
So great. Chloe Moretz in the remake of Carrie.
Oh, yeah.
Which did not do well at all.
No, I want to see it, though.
And then for television on Netflix this week, you've got Vampire Diaries Season 5, The Originals Season 1, and Rain Season 1.
All
right. R-E-I-G-N. Over at Hulu, James Franco's behind-the-scenes documentary of Saturday Night Live called Saturday Night.
Yes, which he actually shot a few years ago, and it's finally getting released.
Right, so that's coming to Hulu this week. More Christmas, Jim Henson's The Christmas Toy, which he made, I believe it was for ABC.
Okay.
And was one of his final projects before he passed away years ago. The B.B. King documentary, Life of Riley. Benedict Cumberbatch in a 2011 film called Wreckers.
Okay.
Never heard of it. And then there's a whole slew of urban romance pictures and low-budget horror movies.
All right.
All on Hulu this week. That's all I've got for physical and streaming media.
Okay. Well, all the shows we didn't talk about at the beginning.
Yep.
Pretty much going to mention now.
All right.
Monday on ABC, Mom is back, along with Castle. And it was massive cliffhanger. So, oh boy. And then on CBS, NCIS LA is back this week. Tuesday Selfie, which I mentioned, is actually premiering along with Manhattan Love Story on ABC. Wednesday Criminal Minds is back and the new show Stalker on CBS. Thursday Bad Judge. A to Z, the romantic comedy I mentioned, on NBC. And then, oh my gosh, Grace Point on Fox.
What's that?
You know what this is. David Tennant.
Oh, yeah. That's right. It's the remake of Broadchurch.
It's the remake of Broadchurch, which was a British, it's a mystery kind of story. And Fox is redoing it and setting it here. But David Tennant is playing the same role, except now he's playing American.
Right.
So, anyhow, if you want to see what his American accent's like, you'll have to check that out. But that has excellent written all over it. Okay, also Thursday, CW, Vampire Diaries and Rain, that you mentioned earlier. The new season's so starting for that. Friday, CBS has Last Man Standing. Saturday night, a bunch of the pilots from the week are being rerun.
Oh, okay.
So if you miss them during the week, you can catch them Saturday evening. Sunday, Bob's Burgers is back in Fox, along with the new show Mulaney, which is comedian John Mulaney.
Which I've heard from everybody, it's terrible. It's not going to last.
Well, you can check it out Sunday night on Fox. Uh-huh. And then Homeland is back on Showtime. Okay. So, music this week. Like, last week wasn't enough for me. My goodness. Down Where the Spirit Meets the Bone by Lucinda Williams. Oh, she's phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
And Blake Shelton, for us country fans, Bringing Back the Sunshine. Prince.
What?
Our official age.
Okay.
Yeah, he's making like a comeback, man.
Yeah.
Anyhow, this is M.E., Melissa Etheridge. Gypsy Heart from Colby Calais.
Oh, good for her.
And then Tracks of My Years by Bryan Adams.
Shut up.
Cover album of, like, classic songs from the 50s, 60s, and 70s.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. Very cool. Okay, you talked about Ernest and Christmas.
Yes.
I thought I was going to be the one, like, bitching about Christmas shit already.
Oh, okay.
And it's not this specific thing. It's just that it's still September.
I know.
Michael W. Smith and Friends, The Spirit of Christmas.
Girl.
That is out, you know, CD and free and whatever, this week. Okay, you want to say it?
James Patterson.
And Michael Ledwidge. The Michael Bennett series, number 7, it's called Burn. And then a whole bunch of nonfiction. Lena Dunham.
Oh.
Not That Kind of Girl. A Young Woman Tells You What She's Learned. So it's kind of memoir essays from her. And then Easy Street, The Hard Way, a memoir by Ron Perlman.
Ooh.
Who has had quite a comeback with Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, like, God.
But it has amazing career.
Oh, yeah.
And then, other end of the spectrum, Just Between Us by Mario Lopez.
Oh, Jesus.
And, of course, Steve Santagati.
Yeah, because he can't string two sentences together to save his life.
Yeah. Rhonda Gerlich, Mademoiselle, Coco Chanel and the Pulse of History. Which, of course, Coco Chanel is, you know, amazing life.
Yeah.
So. This one I thought was cool. It's called Of All the Gin Joints by Mark Bailey. It's it's all about famous celebrities and booze.
Oh.
So especially, like, classic Hollywood.
Yeah.
So it's anecdotes about, like, them drunk or drinking or kind of thing, and quotes from them and stuff, and then recipes.
Oh.
So, like a classic Hollywood, all their favorite drinks.
Well, hopefully they have some Dean Martin, Frank Sinatra stories in there.
Oh, I'm sure they are. So anyhow, and for the kiddos, Shouldn't You Be in School by Lemony Snicket is out this week.
All right.
So, I got two opposite ends of Spectrum Theater news.
Oh, okay.
So, in London,
yes.
They're doing David Mamet's Speed the Plow.
Oh, they're yes.
Huge, yeah, show. So, the star of it had to carry a prop book with her lines in it. And still have people behind, you know, the scene feeding her lines so she could get them all wrong and look like a fool in front of, like, a half-full theater. And, of course, that lovely star is Lindsay Lohan.
Of course it is. Now, you remember the controversy that was stirred up when Madonna did this on Broadway.
That's right. Yeah, that was a while ago.
A long time ago.
Yeah, but it was like, how can you have someone who, yeah, can't act do?
Right. And now they're doing it again.
And now they're doing it with Lindsay Lohan. So anyhow, I mean, obviously I didn't see it, but supposedly it was bad.
Yeah.
Bad. Okay. Another opposite spectrum theater news here.
Yes.
November 23rd, Chicago will become the second longest running Broadway show of all time.
Ooh.
It will surpass Cats.
Mm.
Phantom of the Opera is still number one.
All right.
But in recognition of that, there are going to be, some guest performers that night.
Really?
Yes, like, you know, Bebe Neuwirth, James Norton, and Ryan King and Joel Grey.
Nice.
So the original stars are going to show up.
And if Gwen Verdon was still alive, she'd be there too.
Yeah. So, yeah, the original stars of the new
the reboot. Yeah.
Not like the, you know what I'm saying. You all understand me.
Yep.
Or if you don't care, it doesn't matter.
Well, hell has officially frozen over because George Clooney got married this weekend.
Yes.
To his most recent girlfriend. And he's had a slew of long-standing relationships. He's, you know, but he's been a confirmed bachelor who's married to his work and his free time. And
I posted a story about it from the Businesswoman Media.
Yep.
Internationally acclaimed barrister Amal Al-Mamoudin marries an actor. No, she is. She is a barrister in England.
Yep.
She's, I believe it's Persian British.
She is of London
based and New York. So she has her law certificate here in the U.S. She's a practicing lawyer in the U.S. and in Britain. She's a human rights lawyer.
Yes.
She, like, represented Julian Assange. She is fluent in multiple languages. She went to Oxford. She, like, she is a phenomenal woman.
So, intellectually, they are very compatible. Because George is a very smart guy. And I had the opportunity to interview and question. You know, we had a question and answer session during Ides of March. He's a great guy. What you see is what you get. There's no pretentiousness. Yeah. There's no, he is very down to earth.
He's like really excellent, but I loved this, that it's not George Clooney's marrying some bimbo. It's like this acclaimed lawyer is marrying an actor.
Right. And not that it's any of our business, but you know, hopefully it works out for them and that they have many happy years together. So.
Oh, that's nice.
Sherlock, speaking of Benjamin, Benedict Cumberbatch. Sherlock season 4 has been confirmed with a 2015 Christmas special followed by 3 more 90-minute films, which Stephen Moffat and Mark Gatiss will only describe as devastating.
Uh-oh.
Yep. Cumberbatch could not be more excited and has said that he wants to continue playing the character into old age or until they all get sick of doing the show, whichever comes first. So that's something to look forward to next Christmas, not this Christmas. HBO is wrapping up casting on True Detective Season 2 after Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson had such a great run on the first season. So this next season is Vince Vaughn, Colin Farrell, Taylor Kitsch, and Rachel McAdams.
Pretty nice.
Yeah. And I didn't see the show, but everyone who has seen it, I mean, the boys on Filibuster talked about how much they loved it, so I'm sure it's worth checking out. Marvel Entertainment and the family of legendary comic book artist Jack Kirby have finally reached a financial settlement for royalties on the characters he created for the company. For decades, he worked for them. He and Stan Lee were partners in a lot of great books together. But back then, artists and writers did work for hire. So they didn't have ownership of the characters. That didn't happen until the 80s, until people like Todd McFarlane and Rob Liefeld came around, Jim Lee, and said, hey, if we're going to create stuff, we want ownership of this.
Right.
So they didn't get royalties. They didn't get anything.
No.
But they finally settled. I mean, this thing had been in the courts forever, and it had gotten to the point where the family said, fine, we're going to pull the plug, and you're not able to use any of these characters, which would cripple the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah.
And it was going to the Supreme Court for review. So they avoided that, but if it had gone, it could have had, like, long-lasting impact on the entertainment industry. You know, we're talking far-reaching implications depending on how they saw it. And I don't think Marvel wanted to take that chance.
Yeah.
So the family was obviously happy with the settlement. You know, terms of the deals were not disclosed, but at least that's one thing they have less to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
Modern Family co-star Sarah Hyland has been granted a restraining order against her former boyfriend, Matt Prokop, who I think played her boyfriend on the show at one point. Not the stupid guy.
Yeah, he did a, like, yeah, he was on for an episode or whatever. Yeah.
But there were allegations of physical and emotional abuse.
Yeah.
And actually, Julie Bowen and some of her other co-stars intervened on her behalf to get her out of this relationship. So, and she's dealing with other stuff too. I mean, she had, what was it? Her kidneys didn't work. She had to go through.
What is it? Was it kidney? Some kind of transplant.
Yeah.
It was huge.
Yeah.
can't I remember? Some kind of organ transplant.
I want to say it was kidneys.
Yeah, maybe her liver or something. I don't know, whatever it was.
Something. Continuing the legal theme we've got going here, Jersey Shore's Mike the Situation Sorrentino has been indicted by the IRS for tax fraud, claiming that he and his brother filed false tax returns on more than $9 million of generated income between 2010 and 2012.
It's all the accountant's fault.
Uh-huh, sure it is. Two pled not guilty and were released on $250,000 bond. And arraignment is scheduled for October 6th. Every once in a while, they'll go after these celebrities. You know, they got Wesley Snipes, and he spent how many years in jail? Tim Allen's former wife, Patricia Richardson, will be guest starring on his new series, Last Man Standing, this season.
Nice.
As a new neighbor whose ex-husband destroyed their home and their relationship with do-it-yourself projects.
Nice.
She joined the ranks of Richard Karn and Jonathan Taylor Thomas have both also appeared in previous seasons of the show. And then one final thing, there's a Star Trek 3 rumor. Roberto Orci is directing, which I'm not thrilled about. This would be his directorial debut. But the rumor is that both William Shatner and Leonard Nimoy will be reprising their roles as Kirk and Spock in the film.
Okay.
Which has a lot of people excited, and which, given the fact that Nimoy showed up again doing the exact same thing in the first film, in number two, just pissed me off. So,
yep.
Whatever. Hacks. That's all I've got for entertainment news.
Okay. Well, what did I tell you last week? I told you that we'd be back to our regular old Kardashian news this week. Didn't I? I promise.
Yes.
Kris finally filed for divorce.
Yes.
So it's over for real, over. Yep. Like, we care at this point. Ratings must be low enough. It was time to actually file.
But there will be a very special episode, I'm
sure.
About
that for, like, what, a whole year? Wow.
Yes.
So anyhow, supposedly it's, you know, easy peasy kind of divorce. They're just splitting everything. And it's, you know, not big cat fighting, which I'm kind of surprised because that might get more ratings. I don't know.
Yeah, who knows. But so good anyhow. For him. He's getting out of that whole situation and now he can live a normal life again. Well, whatever normal is for Bruce Jenner.
All right.
Anyways, we have a contest this week?
Oh, we do.
We do.
Do we do? Chef!
Nice.
Earlier, we are giving away DVDs of Chef from Universal Studios.
Cool.
And it's, yeah, it's Jon Favreau's most recent outing as a director, actor, writer.
Producer, fundraiser.
Everything. And it's, you know, it's an amazing cast. Sofia Vergara is in it. And actually Robert Downey Jr. is in it. Nice. And John Leguizamo, Baba Kambal. Like, anyhow. We've talked about it multiple times on the show. But anyhow, so yeah, that is when you want to check out. So hopefully you can win it from us.
Very cool. All right. That's all for us this week. Thank you guys for tuning in. And as always, thank you for reading our reviews at DVDVerdict.com, listening to our podcasts at DailyVerdict.com. No, DVDVerdictPresents.com, and eventually following us at DailyVerdict.com. So thank you guys. Until next week, Melissa Ann, take it away.
And the silence is louder than thunder, and it rings with the sound of goodbye.